Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, page 500. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. After, at the end of the story of the Egel, Hashem is destroying, punish those people in the various different punishments. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, I have to go up and daven to Hashem again to see if I'm able to get forgiveness.
500.
If I'm able to get forgiveness for the Jewish people for the terrible sin they did. Okay? And Moshe Rabbeinu threatened Hashem by saying that if you don't, then erase me from the Torah that you wrote, and I don't want to have anything to do with your book and so on. So it says like this. Yidaber Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe.
500?
And said, Lech alei mizeh, go up from here, and atov ha'am asher leisa mi'eretz Mitzrayim, you and the nation that you brought out of Egypt should go to this land which I swore to the forefathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying, and then I'm going to give it to your children. Which means as follows. Before, when Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, when the Jews sinned in the Egel, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Lech Reid, go down. And we explained before from Rashi that Rashi says, why does it say the double expression go down? Because not only did you physically go down from the mountain, but you should go down from your greatness. I gave you greatness because of the Jewish people. Now that they sinned, you're also not great. So go down physically and spiritually. Now that Hashem is beginning to forgive the Jewish people, so Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Lech alei mizeh. Mizeh means from the sin of the Egel that made you go down. So now Hashem says, now that the Jews did tshuva, and I'm going to be able to forgive the Jewish people, so now I want you, Lech alei, go up from the level of evil that you went down to. And then it's interesting, Hashem continues and says, Atova ha'am asher alisa meret Mitzrayim. Before Hashem said, Ki shecheth amcha, Hashem said, your nation sinned. Now Hashem took it back, and Hashem said, Ha'am, the nation. Hashem didn't say anymore that it's your nation, it's the nation. Okay, so he says, you should go to the land that I commanded to give. Now, in Rashi explains the second point, why does it say, Lech alei mizeh? What does it mean, go up? What's going on over there? Hey, guys. Why does it say, alei mizeh, go up? So this we find many times in Chumash, when the Pasuk is speaking about Eretz Yisrael, it says, alei. Now, neichi olcha gamolei, I'm going to take you out of to Eretz Yisrael, it says, olei nala. Whenever it speaks about Israel, it speaks about going up. And the Gemara uses the expression that Rashi brings down, that Eretz Yisrael gavoya mikol ha'aretz, that Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all lands. It doesn't mean that's obviously in a physical sense, because realistically Eretz Yisrael is not the highest altitude of land. What it means is, in levels of Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael is the highest of level. So that's why when it ever speaks about Eretz Yisrael, in fact, how do even people say it today? Aliyah. Go make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, because officially Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands, and therefore it's the concept of going up. So he says, you have to go to the land that I swore to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, even though we don't find clearly in Chumash that Hashem swore to each one of the forefathers and he was going to give the land, but it's alluded to, B'derech Remez, in a hinted form, and the Mefarshim point to various different psukim, that Hashem actually did swear to the forefathers that he's going to give the land of Eretz Yisrael. So now we're on 502. V'shalachti lefanecha malach pasuk beis. Hashem says, but now that you sinned, there is a consequence. The consequence is, I am not going with you anymore. I'm not going to be directly going with you like Hashem, so to speak, originally planned. Right. He said, "V'shalachti lefanecha malach." I'm going to send an angel to go with you. And what is this angel going to do? V'geirashti, I will drive away the nations of Kanani, Emeri, Chiti, Prizi, Chivi, Vayevusi. Now, these are only six nations. We know in Eretz Yisrael there were seven nations. What was the name of the seventh nation that the Pasuk is not mentioning? The nation called Girgashi. Now, why did the Pasuk omit the nation of Girgashi? So Rashi comments in the Medrash, because that nation the Jews didn't have to conquer. They got so scared they ran away on their own.
But it says in the Seder.
What?
Girgashi.
Yeah. Yeah, but over there it's not speaking about driving them out. Here the Pasuk says, V'gedashti, I'm going to drive them out. So Hashem says, who am I going to drive out? The six nations. The seventh nation actually went out, went away by itself. Okay, where am I taking to you to? Al Erev Zavas Cholov Advash, to land flowing with milk and honey. Kilei Ela Bekir Becha, Hashem says, I'm not going to go up with you. Why? Ki am ksheirif ato, you are a stubborn next people. Pen achoch baderech lest I get angry at you again. And Hashem says, listen, I know you guys are not done sinning yet. So he said, if I go up with you, and don't forget you just sinned against me. He said, you know, I can only handle a certain amount. And even though Hashem obviously is extremely kind, but sometimes the Jews need a punishment as a cleansing process. So Hashem says to the Jews, listen, you know, it's better for you if I don't go. Because if I go, I'm going to destroy you when you sin. And like this, the Malach, he can tolerate it a little bit better. But one thing Hashem did say, though, that even though you sinned, but you're going to go up to Eretz Zavas Cholov Advash, the land flowing with milk and honey, that's going to be anyway. That I'm not taking away. The only punishment I'm giving you is not that the land will be worse. Eretz Yisrael will be the same level of Kedusha. Instead of taking it myself, I'm just going to go, you know, through a Malach. Now, obviously a Malach is also representative of Hashem. But as we can understand, there's still a difference in level of Kedusha if Hashem is going himself with the Jews, kaviyachol, meaning there's a much greater revelation of godliness, or if Hashem is sending a malach, which is a lesser level of kedusha, whether they're going to take the Eden out of Mitzrayim, into Eretz Yisrael. Okay,
question.
What?
Even if it is Hashem who leads the nation, or if it is a malach.
Right.
Obviously, it's not physical; it's spiritual. Suppose, what does it mean? This one will be that one.
I mean, the Ramban writes over here that even though the Malach is going, he's still going to stay with the Jews, you know, until they settle the land, so to speak, and then the Malach will also leave. It's just a difference in the level of kedusha. I mean, what's the difference if, for instance, by Yitzias Mitzrayim was Vavakti Beretz Mitzrayim Ni V'loi Malach, like we say in that God. Hashem said, I'm going to go no Malach, just me. What that means is, what's the difference? The Jews got out anyway.
I'm saying, either way, we did not see anything. Even today, Hashem leads us.
But the level is, do you see more miracles? Do you see more an open level of Kedusha if Hashem himself is going? Now, it also brings down, the Mefarshim bring down, that if Hashem himself would take the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, then there would not be any Golas later. And as that would be a finished Geula. Like we said, the Meshe Rabbeinu would be the Mashiach, and all that would happen. The fact that Hashem sends a Malach, meaning that causes that even the going into Eretz Yisrael is not necessarily a permanent thing, that the Jews won't go into Golas again. And Farshim points this out, that would be the difference. He says, he just said that it's going to be through a Malach, so therefore it's not necessarily as permanent also as if Hashem himself took the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Yishma Ha'am, but now you see, Taka, that the people really did tshuva. Yishma Ha'am Esadaver Azeh, the nation heard this terrible thing that Hashem did, and they mourned. V'leishasu ish edyei olav. And the people did not put on their jewelry. There's a lot of discussion in the commentaries. What does it mean that the Jews didn't put on their jewelry? That's the literal meaning of the word. The Jews mourned because they heard that Hashem's not going with them, and instead only a Malach is going with them. So they're upset. Hashem said, I am not going with you, I'm sending a Malach. So the Jews started mourning for that because they wanted Hashem to go. He didn't say anything about Mashiach. Now, the question is, what does it...
Moshe is supposed to go with the Bnei Israel to Israel.
Yeah, but that was a different story later in Chumash with the rock. Here, Hashem said, I am not going with you anymore because you sinned. I'm going to send a Malach. He didn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu. He meant a Malach. An angel instead of Hashem himself. And we said, because of that, there was not a permanent redemption. The Jews had to go into Golis afterwards. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya says... What jewelry are we talking about? He says, Rabbeinu Bechaya learns it means simple jewelry. That the man didn't put on the jewelry, it's like a sign of mourning. When a person, God forbid, is an avelus, they don't dress up, they don't get dressed with, they don't adorn themselves with jewelry. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, they didn't put on the jewelry anymore.
Other men wore jewelry?
Didn't you learn by the eagle, the men took off their gold? Now, it's brought down that some Mefarshim learn that what didn't they put back? They didn't put back the gold that they were wearing. Because they sinned in the gold, so they didn't, now that to show that they felt bad for the Aveda that they did with the gold, so it says, that's the way Rabbeinu Bechaya, other Mefarshim learn, that it means that they didn't put back the gold, the jewelry that they had. Other Mefarshim learn that what does it mean they didn't put back the crowns? The crowns means, because there's a contradiction between this Pasuk and a Pasuk and learn two Pasukim. The bottom line is, some Mefarshim learn, it refers to the crowns that the Jews got at the time they said Nasa v'Nishma. What happens like this. When the Jews said Nasa v'Nishma, meaning we accepted blind faith and then we're going to understand it, so the Gemara says, Bo, 600,000 angels came, each one with two crowns, and every Jew got two crowns of glory. Okay? One for Nasa and one for Nishma. Okay? Then when the Jews sinned in the eagle, so it says, they didn't, don't ask me what it means, I'll try to explain in a second, but what it means is, they didn't put back one of the two crowns. They didn't put back the Naasa crown. Why? Because they sinned through action. What did they do? They made an eagle. So it said, okay, we don't deserve the Naasa crown, the action crown, but we're going to leave the Nishma crown. In a few psukim, the pasuk is going to say, Hashem said, take it off. Take them both off. And therefore the Gemara says that 1,200,000 angels of evil came and removed the crowns.
Evil.
It means they put the crowns on, one Malach was able to give two crowns each. Because in Kedusha they're stronger. When it comes to evil, to removing the crowns, Hashem couldn't send 600,000 Malachim, he had to send 1,000,002. Why? Because in evil is not as strong as Kedusha. So therefore, to remove something from a Jew, it's much harder than to give it to the Jew. So when Hashem gave the crowns of glory, and this, by the way, it says in the Gemara, and Rashi mentions it later, that when the Jews lost the crowns of glory, who got them? Moshe Rabbeinu got 1,000,002 crowns of glory. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu came down. It says the Jews couldn't look at him because his face shined too much. He had to wear a mask. Okay, so what did his face shine from all of a sudden? They saw him many years before this. I mean, so it says he had all the Kedusha. It wasn't a physical concept. It was the glory of a Kedusha that each Jew had, the two crowns. So then Moshe Rabbeinu got all those levels. So he says like this, that number one, the fact that the Jews did tshuva in this case, that was a very good benefit for them, because then when Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Har Sinai to ask forgiveness to the Jewish people, he was able to prove to Hashem, you see, they really mean it, because look what they did. They took off their crowns. Vayem Hashem al Moshe. Okay? Pasuk Hey. Hashem said to Moshe, Amen al B'nai Yisrael, say to the Yidin, Ata am k'she'edev, you are a stubborn people. I don't see the Mefarshim saying this, but he said, Emer al B'nai Yisrael. He didn't say Daber al B'nai Yisrael. The difference between Amira and Dibur, like Rashi said before in Parshas Yisrei, Dibur is harsh speaking, and Amira is soft speaking. Now that Hashem saw that the Jewish people did tshuva, what did Hashem say to Moshe? Emer al B'nai Yisrael, speak softly to them. Now that they did tshuva, speak softly to them. What should you tell them? Ata am k'she'erif, you're a stubborn nation. Rega echad, in 1 second, ele b'kir b'cha v'chilisicha, in 1 second, I will come to you and destroy you. Ba'ata now, Heyrit ed yuchah me'alacha, take off your crown from you. Ve'edam ha'eselach, and I will let it be known what I should do to you. And I should know what I should do. In other words, meanwhile, he said to them, take off the crowns, you know, you don't deserve the crowns. Then we'll figure out, you know, what we're going to be doing with you. What to forgive, not to forgive, how much, not to, how much, and so on. Now, it's another interesting thing. Here, Hashem is finally calling them B'nai Yisrael. All the psukim before that, Kishiches Amcha, 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 the whole time Amcha. Finally here, Hashem saw the Jews did tshuva. Then he called them now the B'nai Yisrael. Because now they're in a much greater level, so Hashem is able to call them the B'nai Yisrael. Okay, Hashem says, listen, I want you to know, and this is how Hashem answers it, because the question, what's the continuation of this pasuk? The Jews mourned, and then Hashem said, okay, take off your crowns. I mean, if anything, it should have been in reverse. But what happened over here is, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jews that it's good that they're taking off their crowns. Because when you have a crown, you are much more responsible for your actions. You're much holier. Well, Hashem says, listen to me, he says, tell the Yidin, it's better for them if they take off the crowns, because then I won't have to destroy them like I would, because I won't have to be so particular with them, and so machmir with them, as it would be in another way.
We don't deserve it anyway after the same day, right?
Yeah, but Hashem still allowed them to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, I'm sending a malach instead. Take off your crowns, because then I won't have to punish you as much as I would otherwise. So it says, Pasuk Vav, Vayisnatzel b'nei Yisrael es edyo meharchedev. They took it off. Now, other people say, by the way, what garments or crowns did they take off? Some people say, before, Moshe Rabbeinu at Matan Torah squirted blood on all the Jews. At the end of Mishpatim we learned, he squirted blood as a covenant between Hashem and the Jews. So it says, Rabbeinu B'chai also learns that the ornaments were the blood, the garments that had the blood, the Jews took them off and didn't mention them and didn't wear them anymore. Okay.
What does it mean the covenant is not in the...
Because they broke the covenant. When you break a covenant, both sides break it. Okay. Moshe Yikach HaSa'il. Moshe Rabbeinu took his tent. V'natolei, and he planted, he placed it, he didn't plant it, he spiked it. Michutz l'machane, outside of the camp. Now that Moshe, after the sin of the eagle, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, I can't leave my oil moed, and we'll soon see what oil moed is, that I cannot leave the oil moed in a sinful camp. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to go and take it out of the camp and move it somewhere else.
Outside the
Outside the cloud, yeah. Outside the camp completely. 1 second. Okay. Now, what did he do? Moshe Rabbeinu took the camp, took his oil, and he separated himself from the Bnei Yisrael. Why? Because there's a din that if a scholar is excommunicated, so then the students often have to separate themselves. The fact that Hashem excommunicated the Jews, so to speak, because he said, listen, I'm not going anymore with you. I'm separating myself from you. So Mesha also had to separate themselves from him. Because if the person is excommunicated, the teacher and the student also have to be excommunicated. So Mesha Rabbeinu went. Now another thing Mesha Rabbeinu did, and he says that because the Jews he saw have a strong Yetzer Hara, because what happened is as follows. We learned already before that when Matan Torah happened, the Yetzer Hara left the Jews. Right? Matan Torah put the Jews into Prichat Etzadas status. So now what happened? When the Chet Etzadas, Chet Egel happened, the Yetzer Hara came back to the Jews. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, how do you expect the Oil Moed, or the Oil at least, we'll soon see what that is, to be together with the place of a Yetzer Hara? I need to separate it, separate Kedusha from evil. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu took it, and he took it out of the camp, and he said, he called it the Oil Moed. First the name was Oil, and now it became Oil Moed, meaning it was a designated like a Yom Tif. Some of Farshim learned was Oil Moed. Simply Moed means set time. Right? Mm-hmm. Set time when it's going to when Hashem reveals himself. But other Mefarshim learn, it actually means Oil Moed, the time of a Yom Tif. It became a very ceremonial type of a tent. Another thing it says, because before the Chet, before the sin, it was called Oil. Because then it would be permanent. After the sin, he called it Oil Moed, because it was only going to be a temporary thing. The Mefarshim had before it was called the Oil, and then it became called Oil Moed. Right? So why was it changed from Oil to Oil Moed? So this Mefarsh learned, because when it was called Oil, it means it was going to be permanent. But now that it was the Jews sinned, it's not going to be permanent. So therefore, it's called Mayid, a temporary dwelling place.
The same as the tabernacle, right? The one, this is tabernacle?
The Mefarshim learned that basically this was the Oil Mayid, yes. Other Mefarshim learned that the word Oil Mayid comes from the word Vad, meaning like Beis Vad L'Chachamim. If somebody wanted to learn Torah, they went to that tent. Because Moshe Rabbeinu hung out in that tent the whole day.
What it was in this tent? Its luchot wasn't
here. The luchos, well, right now they had the broken luchos.
What it was in Oil Moed? Broken luchos?
If it's the Oil Moed of the Mishkan, then it had the Aron in it. What did the Aron have until the... It depends when the Aron was made. There's different opinions if the Aron was made before Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur. So basically it was the Oil Moed where Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from. Okay, then the Pasuk says like this. V'hayek tzeis Moshe l'Oil. When Moshe Rabbeinu went out to the Oil, you know, from the camp, we went from his house to the Oil Moed. Yakumu kol ha'am. Everybody got up. When they stood each Pesach Oli next to his tent, out of respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ibito achrei Moshe, and they looked after Moshe at Be'ayala until he came to the tent. And here the Mefarshim point out an interesting thing. It says v'ibito achrei Moshe. So they say they couldn't look at Moshe's face because it shined too much, because he got all the crowns. So what did they look at? The back of Moshe. It doesn't only mean they looked after Moshe, because it says it's a weird expression. V'ibito achrei Moshe. What do you mean they looked achrei Moshe? They looked after Moshe. After Moshe means that they looked in the back of Moshe, meaning that they couldn't handle the actual kedusha of the oil itself, of Moshe Rabbeinu itself. And they say like this: before the sin, it says by the Umara Kveir Hashem Keshachelas Berei Shahar La'ene B'nei Yisrael. By Matan Teda, the pasuk says that there was a revelation of God on Har Sinai in the eyes of all the Jews. That means before the sin, there was this great revelation of the essence of godliness on Har Sinai, and everybody looked at it. No problem. Now they sinned. They couldn't even look at Moshe Rabbeinu's face. They had to look at his back. Acharei Moshe, in the back of Moshe. Well, they didn't finish the tshuva yet of Salachti Kedvarecha. They were in the tshuva process.
The tshuva process, you're not holding?
Not yet, no. No. Tshuva... Page 502. Four lines in the bottom of the page. Now, what did they look at Moshe? And they said that they would say, Ashrei Yilud Isha. Look how fortunate this human being is that Hashem goes with him into the Ohel Moed. He goes, Moshe goes. And it says an interesting medrash. Rashi quotes it later on in Chumash. If we see one thing, Jews never changed. It says, if Moshe Rabbeinu went out early from his house, if he left his house early in the morning, the people said, oh, he got into a fight with his wife. No, this is what the medrash says. He left late. They said, oh, he was probably either sleeping in, or he was having meetings about us. Whatever he did to the Rishoyim, this is what the Rashi said later, to the Rishoyim, later on the Chumash, Rashi says, the Rishoyim would always complain. He left early, he got into a fight with his wife. This, whatever it was, something wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means they always found faults in people even then. It wasn't that nobody should feel bad today. No, you bring this is they bring down over here. It's a Yalkut. They say the Rishonim looked at him like this. They said, oh, look how fat his feet are. Look how much he eats and drinks. They say he's eating up our money. No, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu became rich from the later on from the Psalach of the second Luchis. So they said, what is it? It says he brings down like this. It says in the pasuk, "Yibito acharei Moshe." It doesn't say "achar Moshe." Grammar, it should say "Yibito achar Moshe." What is acharei? They looked after him. They said like this. They looked at him from head to toe. He walked in. They looked at him head to toe, and they said, "Oh, look how thick he is! Look how fat he is! Look how much he eats! Where did he get all this money from? From our donations we gave to the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu is enjoying life from our things."
But they would actually wait there until he goes to the camp and comes by?
No, until he went to the camp, because he was there all day.
So why would
just when out of respect?
Oh.
When Moshe Rabbeinu walked, the Jews went by their tents. They looked, stood up out of respect, and they looked after him.
I heard his sister put something in her tummy, so the people they say she's pregnant. And Miriam says, I had one Avera, I just needed to be cleaned up with it.
What?
I don't know. I didn't see it, but... Okay, and they say like this. What was the issue? The issue is, when Moshe Rabbeinu left Mitzrayim, the Gemara says, everybody was busy taking money, emptying out Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara says in Saita, was busy with mitzvahs. He was finding the Arena Shel Yosef, you know, to get the coffin of Yosef. So the people said, 1 minute, where does this guy have all this money from? He left Egypt penniless, and look at this guy, he's living like a rich man now.
So the people... so naive not to know that he was in contact with God.
So that doesn't make you get a lot of rich?
Well, it makes him...
Because Hashem wanted Jews to have money.
To build
the Mishkan and to have money.
But there were no business back then.
First of all, First of all, the Ramban learns later in Chumash, in Parshas Balak, the Ramban says the Jews did do business with the neighboring communities.
What they sell?
The Ramban says that in the desert the Jews did business. No, they bought and sold things. They had money, they bought and sold things. For instance, I'll give you an example. Well, in the Mishka we learned, before they had Atishitim. Yeah? So Rashi asks, where did he get Atishitim from? So Rashi says, the Medrash Tanchuma, that Yaakov Avinu foresaw the Jews are going to need wood, so he went down to Egypt, he brought the wood, and the Jews took it out of Mitzrayim. The Ramban learns, no. Ramban learns, Atishitim means wood from the city of Shittim. Later on, Chumash said, Ve'yeshiv Yisob B'Shittim. They lived in the city of Shittim. The Ramban learns, Ati Shittim means Poch. And the Ramban says, the Jews did business with the neighboring people. This contradicts a lot of opinions of Medrash and Rashi. It said they sat and learned Torah all day. They didn't do business. But the Ramban learned in a simple way, the Ramban learned that the people did business. And they dealt, the business people. Can you imagine you not dealing, handling?
They go crazy.
What would the Jew do, yeah, without...
Business.
Yeah, keeps him in trouble.
Real estate.
Where, in the desert? Shvacha real estate.
The Desert Inn.
Yeah, they own the Desert Inn. Yeah, but they made the wrong turn. Moshe Rabbeinu made the wrong turn. That's why we didn't get any oil. Okay. What? Vayin it was Pasik Tes. Vayin was Kaveh Meisha Elo when Meisha Rabbeinu went to the oil. Yedid Amuda Onan, the cloud went down. Vamed Pesach Oil and stood next to the oil. Vidibin and Meisha spoke with Meisha. So, in other words, and this is what the people bowed. Like it says, in Pasuk, you just read Pasuk, but all come as Samura on the name of Pesach, they saw the glory of God coming down in this column of the cloud at the door of the gate. The Kama al Kalam, Ishtachvu, Ish Pesach, and each person bowed by their tent for this revelation of godliness. And this is what the people said. Fortunate is a person that he walks in the street and the Shekhinah follows him. Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the Omer, the Shekhinah comes down to meet him. It's an unbelievable power that and greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Because now the Pasuk says like this. V'dibur Hashem, Pasuk, the end of 502. V'dibur Hashem, al Moshe, panim al panim. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. Kashi David Ishas al Re'eu, like each man would speak to his friend. And we'll explain exactly what that means. And he returned to the camp. And his servant, Yeshua ben Nun, a lad, never would depart from the tent. Meaning, Yeshua already was constantly learning the trade, so to speak, from Moshe Rabbeinu, how to be the next leader, and so on and so forth. Now, first of all, we discussed between Mincha Maariv, we're going to say it again now because most people weren't here. Why was he called Yeshua bin Nun, not Ben Nun? So there's a few reasons the Mepharshim give. One reason is because bin Nun comes the word Bina, understanding. That Yeshua, the Mepharshim say, that since he was Moshe's outstanding student, they called him Bina, meaning understanding. So he took Bin Nun, Bin Nun is a person of understanding. Okay?
Yeshua was a prophet for us.
He took over after Moshe. But the Gemara says, Moshe was like the face of the sun, and Yeshua was the face of the earth. Anyway, but it's a very, very interesting word. The Mamle is being done for the Balatunim later on, Parsha Shlach. Why is he called Yeshua Bin Nun with a chirik rather than Ben Nun? Should be called Yeshua Ben Nun, like everybody else is called Ben, whatever. So they explain like this. Yeshua's original name was Hesheya bin Nun. When he went to go for the Meraglim, so Moshe Rabbeinu made his name from Hesheya bin Nun, he made it Yeshua. Okay, so the Mepharshim discuss, where did he get the Yud from? Where did he take the Yud to make Hesheya into Yeshua? So the Mefarshim say many different answers. But one answer is, he took the Yud from Sarai's name, because Sarai, Avram's wife was Sarai, and then he made her Sarah. So some Mefarshim learn that he took the Yud from Sarai, which is 10, and he made 2 5s out of it, 2 hays. One hay he gave Sarah, and one hay he made Avram to Avraham. Okay, so he took the Yud and just made it into 2 hays and gave him a hay and her a hay. That's a lot, one simple explanation. Another explanation is that the letter Yud came with a complaint to Hashem and said, why were you taking me away? You're taking away my name. By Avram, Hashem didn't take away anything. He just added a hey. But the Yud of Sarai came and said, hey, God, you're not fair. You're taking me away. So Hashem said, don't worry. Nothing personal, ladies. But Hashem said, now you're the last letter of a lady's name. I'm going to make you the first letter of a man's name. So Hashem took the Yud from Sarai and made it for Yehoshua. Okay? So the Yud felt better. So the Baal HaTurim says, yeah, what else? So Baal HaTurim says, okay, but there's a problem. Because the Yud at the end of Sarai had no vowel to it. No Nekuda. So where did God get the Nekuda for Yehoshua? So he says like this. Ben is a segel, so there's 3 dots, right? Mm-hmm. So Hashem took the Shva, 2 dots, to make Yehoshua, and he was only left with 1 dot, so he made it a chidah, because it's Bin Nun instead of Ben Nun. Because the two, the Shva from the segel, he took away and made it for Yehoshua.
Wow.
That's what the huh?
A long way around.
No, it's very interesting though. No, because where did God take the Nekudas from?
But they really explain everything in, I mean, that...
Yeah, as somebody in the show would always say, the rabbis were bored. They had nothing to do. And they would think a whole day about these things. And he came up with some brainstorms. Now, what does it mean here when the Pasuk says, Panim al Panim? There is a big difference between... And this we see later in the Chumash also, when Miriam complained against Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, what's so great about you? Gambanu diber Hashem, Hashem speaks to us too. And Hashem says later on in Chumash also, listen, you can't compare the way Hashem, pal pal daber bei, b'maravali b'chidois. What happened is as follows. All the other prophets, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, questionable about Bilam, but all the other Jewish prophets, only had prophecy at night. Meaning, they went to sleep, the neshama left the body, the neshama was not limited or concealed anymore by the body, because it went to sleep, the neshama went up. And at that time, the neshama was able to get revelations of godliness that translated itself into nevuah. Okay? Because Nevi'im were not great. Their bodies, one second, let me finish. Their bodies were not great enough to be able to handle a revelation of godliness while they were still physically alive in a body. So when they went to sleep, the neshama left the body, that's when they got their prophecy. In fact, in Tanakh, it's brought down one of the Basi Laganis, it says in Tanakh, Vayavshit es begodo vayisnaba. He took off his clothing and he got prophecy. So it's explained, especially in Chassidus, but even the other Mefarshim explain, the whole concept of clothing came about because of the Eitz Hadas. Before that, Adam and Chava were not wearing clothing, they weren't embarrassed, there was no Eitz Hara yet, so the fact that they weren't clothed didn't cause any problems with the Eitz Hara. Once the Chet Eitz Hadas came, and the Eitz Hara came into the person through the sin of the Eitz Hadas, so then people had to start wearing clothing. That's the concept of, so it says that sometimes the Nevi'im had to remove their clothing, meaning they had to reach a level above the Chet Eitz Hadas to be able to get this level of prophecy. So all Nevi'im, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, had the Nevuah at night. Why? Because at that time, the Neshama left the body and therefore they were able to get this proper Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that he was able to get nevuah, prophecy from Hashem, even when he was up. Mm-hmm. That's the expression, Peh al peh adabar bay. I speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face. B'mare v'lei b'chid, not with visions and images and riddles. In other words, Hashem spoke to Meshe Rabbeinu. Why? So it says an interesting concept. When it says about Meshe Rabbeinu, later on in Zeis HaBracha, it says, V'zeis HaBracha sheberach Meshe Ishu Alikim. Ishu Alikim. There's a medrash that says, Meshe Rabbeinu was Ishu Alikim, Chatzi Ish, Chatzi Alikim. That means Meshe Rabbeinu's body was elevated to such an extent that the body didn't block any revelation of godliness whatsoever. 1 second. So when the Pasuk says the expression ponim al ponim, it means the relationship of like a person talking to another person face to face. Now, when you don't like somebody and you have to give them something, you throw it over your shoulder. Figuratively, I'm not talking about literally, but you know, you don't want to look at the person. I don't want to tell your kid, I don't want to see your face now. You know, I don't want to look at you. Meaning, like it says that there was a time that even like we're going to learn in later Pesukim, Hashem says, "Kileirani adam v'chai, risa sachayrai." You only see my back, the front, even that. But in a certain level of nevuah, Meshe Rabbeinu spoke to God panim al panim. What do you mean when you speak somebody face to face? You can have, and this is a lot of shir hashirim is based on this concept. And in Chassidus and Medrashim, you have a lot about this. You can have a yichud, a unity of two people looking at each other. You can have a relationship of back to back. Yeah? It says two people can be standing next to each other. Mamash, even touching each other. But if they're back to back, there's a whole world apart. Literally, a whole world away from each other. And you can be looking far away from each other, but if you're looking towards each other, then you have that close relationship. When a person speaks to somebody face to face, in Gashmias, in the physical world, it's a much deeper level of relationship than it is if you're looking somewhere else, you look at somebody sideways, or, you know, a lot of times you talk to people, you start looking around, they say, you're dreaming already. You're not looking, you're choloming, you're dreaming already about something else. You look at somebody, panim al panim, it means your whole self is connected to their whole self. That's what it means in Gashmis, when you speak physically, a person looking at somebody, look at me straight in the eyes, you know. What does it mean? I want to see your essence with my essence. I want this connection between the two. When the Pasuk says, the Meshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem, panim al panim, or, like it says later on, balei schapel pa adaber bay, what it means is the revelation of godliness to Meshe Rabbeinu was the essence of Hashem to the essence of Meshe Rabbeinu. That didn't exist by any other Navi. Every other Navi, the body was not on the level, in the physical sense, to be able to handle that level of Kedusha. In fact, if you look, in fact, the Gemara uses the expression, Kol HaNaviim, Nisnabu b'kay, u'meishin nisnabu b'zeh.
Even Eliyahu?
Yeah. Meshe Rabbeinu, it says in Chumash, zeh hadavar she'tziva Hashem. This is what Hashem commanded. Zeh hadavar. All the Nevi'im, if you learn, all the Haftaris, Koyamar Hashem, Shemaim Kisi, Koyamar Hashem, Koyamar Hashem. What's the difference between Koyamar Hashem and zeh hadavar? Koyamar Hashem means, so God said. It's like distant. It's not looking face to face. Zeh, as the Gemara uses the expression, Mara be'etzba, ve'emer zeh. When you say this, I mean you point into it and says it's right in front of you. Like they said, Zeh keli van ve'u. So it says when Meshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh hadavar, because Meshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is not so God said, like in a vision, a far out thing. It was a revelation of mamish face to face. And that's why Chazal tell us that when Meshe Rabbeinu Parshas Ha'azinu says, Ha'azinu Hashemayim Vadabera, V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrefi. So the Medrash says, Meshe Korev LaShemayim. In Hebrew, you have Ha'azinu means to hear. And v'sishma also means to hear. So the Medrash says, what's the difference between hazinu or shmiya? Hazinu means ozen. Ozen means you're listening close up. Shimu, listening, is from the distance. Hearing is from the distance. Hazinu is an expression of closeness. That's why you say, give me your ear. That means you're right next to the person and you're saying ha'azinu. So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to the Shemayim. So he said, ha'azinu ha'shemayim v'adabera. When it came to the earth, Moshe Rabbeinu was far from earthly things. So he said, v'sishma ha'aretz imrefi. Yeshaya said the opposite. Shimu shamayim v'hazini aretz. So we see Chazen Yeshayo ben Am. Shimu shamayim. By shamayim, Yeshaya said shimu shamayim. Because
Yeshaya?
The big prophet Isaiah. Yeah, he said, Yeshaya Navi said shimu shamayim because he was closer to earth. So when it came to shamayim, he said shimu shamayim v'hazini aretz. That means in love, and Yeshaya was the greatest godless Shub in Nevi'im. I mean, Yeshaya was one of the greatest Nevi'im. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu's level of relationship in revelations of godliness was not comparable to anybody else in any way whatsoever. What? One second.